So his voice is no doubt familiar to you, but get used to hearing this fella.
The president will find in our new majority the voice of the American people as they've expressed it tonight. Standing on principle, checking Washington's power, and leading the drive to a smaller, less costly, and more accountable government here in Washington, D.C.
The sound of Ohio Congressman John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, speaking after the election results on November 2nd, which gave the Republicans a majority in the House and gave him the speakership.
Right.
Which is a good moment to remind people that the Speaker of the House is, in theory and on paper in the Constitution, one of the most powerful positions in U.S. government.
That's right, especially in terms of line of succession, one might say.
Absolutely. Well, line of succession, what, he's number three. It's President, Vice President, Secretary Pro Tem of the Senate, and then
Speaker of the House.
There you go. So John Boehner has a question now. It's a fork in the road for him. What kind of House of Representatives, what kind of Congress will this be? And particularly, Boehner and the other members of the GOP leadership in the House have control of what committees will do what investigations and what issues will they take up. Will it be the kind of tactical sort of electioneering that characterized, I think it's fair to say, the Gingrich era in 94?
Right. It's very strategic.
You've also got the 9/11 commission, though, in the 2000s, which wasn't a congressional hearing per se, but it was a commission. It was a magisterial investigation.
Right. Commanded a lot of credibility and respect.
And looked seriously at the separation of powers issue.
Absolutely.
Or will Boehner actually go back to the Sam Rayburn era entirely, to when congressional investigations were more serious?
Right.
And it culminating really in the Watergate investigation. Not that Rayburn was Speaker of the House then, but I think the Watergate era was very much templated after the Sam Rayburn era, one of the most powerful speakers of the House in U.S. history. Well, here to talk about that is Jennifer Rubin, who writes the Right Turn blog for The Washington Post, who had a very interesting piece on suggesting what kind of tone the Boehner Congress is going to take going forward. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
What investigations do you think this Congress is going to take up? A lot of people on the left and right were suggesting that the investigations would be very much on the order of the Gingrich sort of vendetta style, looking at the Black Panthers in Pennsylvania, looking at deals for staying in or staying out of Senate races around the country. What's your view?
They are going to be selective. I think they are going to look at certain issues within the Justice Department, including the dismissal of the voter intimidation case, which you referenced, the new Black Panther case. But I think the greater concern for the administration should be that old-fashioned oversight is going to come back. And that's an important function that we haven't seen. And we usually don't see, unfortunately, when the Congress and the White House are controlled by the same party. There are a lot of issues in terms of, are the Obama policies working? Are they doing what they are supposed to be doing? Which was never really examined during the time that Nancy Pelosi held the speakership, because, quite frankly, they were not issues that the Democratic Party wanted to look at.
Well, there are also issues of separation of powers that really come from the Bush era that Pelosi could have looked at. Questions of overreaching by the White House, you know, issues that really continue into the Obama era, issues of the Justice Department, issues of Gitmo, issues of oversight of investigating U.S. civilians in the interest of national security. This is a real opportunity for John Boehner.
I think it is. And I think there are a number of proper roles for the House that Congress over the years has essentially ceded away. We saw at the end of the Bush administration, for example, that the Congress refused to vote in favor of a bailout for the auto companies. And the administration at that time, the Bush administration, reached back into TARP and said, okay, we're going to do it anyway. Forget what Congress has to say. And there was really not a peep out of Congress. I think that's a bad sign for our democracy. We do have a tripartite government. We do have a separation of powers. And I think you're going to see Congress pushing back a little bit, at least. And I think there's room for oversight. I think on the Foreign Affairs Committee, you're going to see inquiry into what have we gotten out of Russian reset, for example. Why is it that we are sending a ambassador now back to Syria? I think on the domestic side, you're going to see some very probing inquiry about the costs and about the ramifications of health care reform. These are the proper role, I would suggest, for Congress. And I think there's going to going to be some hard questioning, as there should be for the administration. My hope would be that we don't go too far astray down the rabbit holes of investigation. Those usually don't pan out and don't bode well for either side. But as you point out, I think there's room to reestablish a bit more balance between the executive and legislative branches.
But it is that rabbit hole is always a danger, especially with the cynicism of the American public towards Congress, that there's a danger that they're likely to see any investigation into the Obama administration as a witch hunt rather than a productive, effective use of congressional powers to kind of fix the legislative branch.
I think that's right. And I also think it's quite interesting that the current Republican majority is quite aware of the pitfalls of the Gingrich era. When I interviewed Peter King of New York some time back, he went down memory lane a bit, and they weren't good memories of the Newt Gingrich era. They saw that as a lost opportunity. They saw that as an era of overreach. And it's really a sort of hyperkinetic distraction that they failed to focus on the big issues because Gingrich had 1,000 ideas, and maybe half of them were good and half of them were rather wacky. So I think they're quite sober, this group, and they are dedicated, I think, to several key issues. One will be putting together a budget for March when the current continuing resolution runs out. They are interested in items like tax reform, and the administration has indicated they have some interest there as well. So I think they have their priorities straight, and I think right. Many of these tangential issues will, frankly, go by the wayside.
Possibly straighter than I have my line of succession, civics straight. It's, and I'm sure you were wincing, Jennifer. It's president, vice president, then Speaker of the House. So the Speaker's actually number three, not number four in the line
Correct.
Of succession,
and
right?
And then the president and pro tem of the Senate, which no one really knows who that is,
yeah.
But it's usually the oldest member of the Senate, which is, I think, a poor idea, actually.
Yeah, probably a poor idea. Well, hopefully they won't hold a hearing on correcting that issue. You know, when you mentioned the Syrian ambassador issue as an investigation, before we go here, I mean, that could devolve into a kind of hold-up Middle East policy. I mean, the U.S. should have an ambassador into Syria. The question of the overall Middle East policy, I think, is a worthy one. But having an ambassador in Syria, that seems kind of trivial.
Well, it really isn't. The notion of whether we should send an ambassador who was suspended because of serious participation in the murder of a
Hariri.
Is quite a serious one, actually. And I would suggest that the Obama administration's attempt to wean Syria away from Iran has been wholly unsuccessful. And in fact, Syria's behavior of late has been quite poor. And
well, the whole Iran policy is definitely a worthy one. We're going to have to go there. But Jennifer Rubin, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Jennifer Rubin writes the Right Turn blog for the Washington Post, contemplating the Boehner tone in the new Congress when Boehner takes the Speaker of the House position.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.